very special thanks to our $5 fans, Patrick McCracken, Jared May, Brendan Adkins, James Clary, Richard Gill, Kyle Stevens, Zach Spear, Nathan, Dustin Yunce, Nathan Dyer, Tonks Konakny.
I don't know how to pronounce that one.
M. Jason, Jared Spool, Danny Brower, Dennis Bailey, Kevin Cup, Pavan Rajam, Andy Davies, Jason Cosper, and Kelly Anderson.
Jesus Christ, that was a sausage fest.
Yeah.
Except for Kelly at the end.
I know, we bagged Kelly.
I like Kelly.
I love Kelly.
She's very talented.
Yes.
What's with the, there was like 500 dudes.
Yeah, it's a lot of men.
I worry about like, what's up, like, is there something wrong with our appeal? We're not getting that demographic we want.
I know. Have you ever like looked at your like Twitter analytics and seen like what your gender breakdown is for like those you follow and those who follow you?
Sausage fest.
Yeah. I think I am a 70-30 man lady.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about that. Cause it's like I'm not gonna go on like a marketing campaign to be like, hey ladies, follow me. Like that's super weird. But then it like skews my ability for like who I end up seeing and interacting with in my feed, and it's weird.
Well, it makes me feel less bad about yelling at people because I figure, all right, just yell at these dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
If I got a bunch of dudes here, I'll just yell at them.
Yeah. I guess I don't. Well, I don't really yell at people on the internet.
You don't.
No, sometimes, but. Usually it's just like at 2 a.m. on like a Sunday and nobody's reading it anyway.
It's been a while since I've seen you yell at anybody.
Yeah. I don't really read Twitter anymore.
No, it's for putting things. You just put and get out.
Yeah, I just tap on like the top bar so that it just scrolls and everything is marked as read.
Yeah,
and
then it's a toilet. You go in, you do your business, you leave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Twitter. It's just, everybody's mad. I tweeted a kind of a joke. Not even a joke. Like, did you hear that like people found the cure for Ebola?
Oh, I got a little alert about that yesterday.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that was like, I was very afraid of Ebola when I was a child because like substitute teachers used to show outbreak in school. And I like tweeted about that. And then somebody's like, whoa, Nazis, like, why don't you care about that? And it's like, I
Jesus
can't even
Christ.
Just like talk about my childhood. Come on.
I can't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for being mad about Nazis.
Absolutely.
But like, can you just let me recall a memory?
Yeah, it's the constant outrage. Like everyone's outraged, and you know there are plenty of reasons to be outraged.
Plenty. Yeah.
But holy shit, let somebody have a good day, goddammit.
Yeah, while I understand the outrage towards Nazis, like I don't think that anybody directing a comment that's tagged at Jesse Char, like something something Nazis, like I'm not the right tree to be barking up. For that, I'm anti-Nazi.
Yeah,
Jesse
is not in the Nazi supply chain.
I'm not in the Nazi supply chain. I don't know any. I'm just a humble conference organizer. No
she
Nazis
is.
Come to my conference. Everybody's pretty anti-Nazi.
They are not welcome.
Yeah,
Nazis are not welcome at Jesse's conference.
I mean, in general, I think this is what people call like preaching to the choir, right? Like, yeah, I get it.
Anyway, we gotta get some more women on that list.
Yeah, ladies. Maybe we should talk about more like female-focused content, like murders. I hear that women are like the primary audience for murder podcasts.
No shit.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think because like we got to know what's going to happen to us.
Oh, that's fair.
You know? Like, it's kind of like not really fortune telling, but you know, you want to know all the stories, you want to know how all these murderers think, because like they're pretty much out to get us. So
yeah.
Huh. It's informative.
Where'd you read that?
I didn't read it. I've done like a little bit of work, like helping with podcast ads and stuff. And I was just looking at like a sheet, and I think it was like My Favorite Murder. And I want to say that at the time it was like 70% female audience, which for any podcast is like quite a lot.
So we should talk about murder.
I don't really know anything about murder. I have no experience in the medium of murder. I've never been murdered, nor have I ever murdered anybody else. What about you?
Yeah, I feel no on both.
You answer that pretty quickly.
Well, yes, because it's, you know, kind of, well, the first one's pretty obvious.
You never know.
Well, I'm not, haven't been murdered.
Uh-huh.
We can both verify that for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're both here.
Or are we?
Well, oh, or we've both been murdered.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is hell.
Yeah.
Podcasting is hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never murdered anyone. Okay. No.
That's good. That's reassuring.
You know, I actually have nightmares about that.
About you murdering people?
I have nightmares about, I never murder people in the nightmares, but, or what I remember is having murdered somebody.
Whoa.
Or somebody having died because of me.
Wow.
And then just like, it's like a guilt nightmare.
Is this like, do you recall if this was like a premeditated thing, or like a crime of passion thing, or like an accidental thing?
I think accidental,
okay.
If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
It's like somebody died because of something I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like afraid I'll get caught,
mm-hmm.
feeling really bad about having done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what happens to me when I go to sleep. I have dreams about that.
That sounds very unpleasant.
It is.
Do you, do you often like remember your dreams, or like know what you dreamt about when you wake up in the morning?
Not really. I mean, there's, you know, every once in a while you have one that, you can't shake for a while. And those tend to, like, whenever I have one of those, and it's not every night, but I'll have one once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that stays with you for a while.
Yeah.
And you want to be real careful that you don't murder anybody that day.
Yeah.
Because you're remembering how that made you feel. And it wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, you've done a great job so far.
So far, there should be a sign up here somewhere.
Days since last murder.
Days since last murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep updating it. Sounds great.
I mean, it's a great way to knock something off your bucket list first thing in the morning.
Not murdering somebody?
Did not murder someone yesterday.
Yeah. That's nice. Now, murdering you haven't done. What about like canceling people? That's what everything's,
you know,
about.
I
now.
I got a real issue attaching that word to people.
Yeah. It's what about to businesses? Equinox, SoulCycle.
I just don't go. Like, yeah. I don't want to get into a whole thing here because about the use of the word. Like, mm-hmm. I get what people are saying with it. And it makes sense. Like, I mean, I don't want to go to a place that, you know, where they're going to take part of my money and you know, give it to the orange Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. As we've established, neither of us are Nazi supporters.
Correct. And, you know, people have this shortcut phrase that they use now, which is canceling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, I'm an old man and not everything has to appeal to me or get run by me.
Yeah. It's inhumane.
It's, you know, TV shows get canceled.
Yeah. That's why I think, like, I'm okay canceling Equinox, because you are literally canceling a membership.
Yeah. I'm not going to use that word.
Yeah.
But I also don't feel a lot of energy about giving people grief for using that word.
Yeah. But when it's directed towards other people, that can get a little dicey.
Yeah. And people fuck up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's such giant fuck-ups in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know, like, everyday fuck-ups. Like, I fuck up every day something. I hope we don't lose our sense of perspective about those things.
Yeah, people are very, very fast to quote unquote cancel others without, you know, without even giving them time to respond or apologize or like, I don't know. I see so many times when people make like genuine slip ups and mistakes.
Yeah. And there's not one human being on the planet that could pass a purity test.
No. No, as well established by the television show, The Good Place.
Absolutely. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's life is very difficult. People come from different places. They, yeah. Yeah. Let's not be mean.
I think there, you know, I don't want to get in trouble today. I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing. It's going to set somebody off. And then there's going to be like some campaign against me, and then you'll get caught up in it, and nobody wants that.
Yeah.
We're having a party.
You're having a party?
We're having a party.
Party.
A party can get canceled, by the way.
Like, you just mean like, oh, something came up.
Yeah, something came up.
Yeah. That's okay.
We have to cancel our party.
Yeah. I've never canceled a party.
Well, that's good news. Nothing bad ever came up.
No. Or bad things did come up, and I handled it.
Got to handle your shit.
Yeah.
So on Friday, we're having a party.
Mm-hmm.
And you're helping to throw it.
Yeah.
Because you're good at that.
Yeah. I mean, Erica knows what she's doing. I'm just going to be here to support.
She was about to get me a cake with fruit in it, Jesse.
She asked if you wanted fruit in your cake.
Who the hell wants fruit in a cake?
I want fruit in a cake.
It's a cake.
What's wrong with fruit in
a cake?
It's
not a fruit salad.
What's wrong with fruit in a cake? Now, are you talking about like pieces of fruit or like jams or like fruit flavored frostings?
She
or
is said it
like
strawberries.
Blanket fruit.
So I'm you know, strawberries are pretty big.
Yeah.
First off, like, all right, let's just, I'm not a big fan of cake.
Okay.
So, and I do believe what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Was, I don't care, get whatever people like.
Yeah.
Did I not?
Well, you said that first.
Yes.
And then when she said, I was thinking maybe to be on theme with the color, maybe like strawberry and then M dash. And then you were like, fruit in a cake, gross.
But I already established that I didn't care.
It could have been strawberry preserves or strawberry frosting. Or strawberry jam. I know. But I think, you know, you're just being.
Being what?
Being Montero-y.
Oh, this is how people get canceled. Shit like this.
I want to know what your problem with fruit and cakes is first. Because you're not alone in this. I just don't understand.
I like, I'm a pie person.
There's fruit in that.
I know. That's where it belongs, in a pie.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait. I think we're on a little journey of self-discovery here.
Yeah, this is very important to,
I think maybe
having
fruit in the cake makes me realize that, God damn it, this could have been pie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You had all the ingredients for pie and you made cake.
So why didn't you just say, hey, Erica, you know what I would love instead of a cake is a pie?
Because if you go to a party and you have pie, people are like, where's the cake?
Okay, so let's talk about that. If you go to a party and there's pie, people are like, where's the cake? Do you think that that's actually true? Or do you think that there are a lot of other people who may share this feeling and would get to the party and be like, holy shit, there's pie at this party?
Like
this is the best party ever.
A silent pie majority?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
What do you like?
I like potato chips. I don't know.
Okay, but we're not. That's like within another realm.
Well, yeah, I'm not a sweets person. I don't know if you remember, but when I had my last day at Mule, like you guys used to get cake for people, but instead, I think Erica got me a cheese platter because I never ate the cake.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think that when it comes to parties and events, and anytime you're serving people food and holidays and all of this, like, I think that people can get really caught up on like what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And not on like, what is that one thing that people are going to like be surprised by that's going to bring them a shit ton of joy.
I totally get that.
Yeah. So I don't think pie would be a disappointing party.
But do you think there are like basic expectations that you need to meet? Okay, so what if you got to a party and there was no music playing?
Oh, that's horrible.
Right?
Yeah.
There's got to be music.
Yeah. And a certain type of music.
But yeah, yes.
Yeah.
But not difficult music, not moody, like music that makes people want to like hang out together.
Yeah. Or music that reinforces the tone that you are trying exactly. to suggest. Yes.
And depending on what kind of party, like dictates the volume of the music, right?
Absolutely.
And even the time of evening dictates the volume of the music. Mm-hmm. I assume later in the evening, it's going to go up for a little bit for, you know, if it's a dancing party.
Oh, yeah.
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 And then late as you're trying to clear people out, mood of the music goes down, volume goes down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of give people a little audio hint.
Yeah.
It's time to go home.
Yeah. You bring up the lights a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Or you just turn off the music.
Get out.
Yeah. Lights on, music up, doors open. Please see your way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all these things are design.
Party design.
Mm-hmm.
You still have parties?
Oh, I haven't. Wait, okay. Let me think about this for real. I haven't thrown any big parties like the ones that I used to throw in a while because I kind of moved my efforts to conferences.
Well, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, you're like a big time conference and event organizer, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that organizing parties was like a gateway into that sort of thing?
Absolutely. I think it was like a combination of like working in design and like learning about UI and UX and then like simultaneously throwing giant house ragers. Like it was basically those two things. So like really like while I was working at Mule, like I just mashed those two things together, like my profession and my hobby, and then turned it into a new profession. So yeah. So for those of you who don't know, I used to like kind of with my friends, like we would throw these big house parties. We had posters, we had a logo for the house and a website. It was
they were an event.
It was an event. And so this is in the Castro, San Francisco. That this house does not belong to my friend group anymore.
Oh,
so
why?
I can say we used to call it the Beaver Lodge because it was at Beaver Street in San Francisco.
Oh,
it's a Castro and Beaver, which is hilarious. We called it the Beaver Lodge. We had a logo. We did low-key steal the Canadian National Parks logo, but it was a not-for-profit private party, non-business. So I think it was okay.
That's fair.
We designed special posters with cool artwork for each of them. We used to build our own photo booth setups with professional lighting and camera equipment. We once, they made like a custom iPad app that would take like a burst of four photos, put them in a frame that had like our winter formal Beaver Lodge thing, and then like upload them to the internet automatically.
Amazing.
I had basically like food and drink algorithms so that I could like efficiently go grocery shopping and like we had full systems down pat.
What kind of food did you have at your parties?
The food that we had at our parties was tea sandwiches.
Okay.
So I know that it doesn't sound like necessarily like a tea sandwich is like the food of the rager.
Did you say cheese or tea?
Tea sandwiches.
Tea.
So like
T-E-A.
Any sort of like a white bread sandwich with like turkey and basil with like the crust cut off and in triangles. So we would make like 500 of those. And then it's great because like you don't need a plate or a napkin. You just pick up this stupid little tiny turkey sandwich and you just throw the entire thing in your mouth when you're drunk or you're dancing or whatever. And it was perfect. And they would always get killed. Crustless little sandwiches.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to do like, you know, like mini cupcakes and like different things like that. We would have like vats of, oh, here's one of the things. And I think that this is where really we really started getting crazy about like the way things worked was, I don't know if you've been to the parties where it's just kind of like everybody brings a six pack of beer or like you just have like a many bottles of Smirnoff and like cheap alcohol like on the stove with like a bunch of like 2 liter bottles of soda and everybody's just kind of like mixing their own drinks and
that
it turns into like
right.
a sticky mess disaster.
Yeah.
So we decided that was not working for us. It was very messy. And then what would end up happening was that like some people would kind of like stick with that. They would they would get a little bit drunk and then pour these insane cups of alcohol and then like kill themselves. And other people, like, it would run out by the end of the night. Some people would not get any drinks, like the 7-Up would go flat or whatever. So what we started doing is we bought like these giant drink canisters and we just made 3 mixed drinks per party with like a bourbon, a gin, and a vodka or whatever. And we would basically make the drinks horribly strong at the very beginning to get everybody drunk immediately. And then we would just cut the strength in half every time we made a new vat of each drink.
That's like science.
It is like science.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like one handle per container at the beginning of the night and then like half a handle per container, like the next. And you just like slowly, you get people really, really drunk right away. So everybody's like in the party mode.
Uh-huh.
And then you just like lightly maintain their buzz.
Perfect.
Throughout the rest of it. And like nobody knows what's in it. Nobody notices that the drinks are getting weaker as the night goes on because everybody's just like having a nice time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got pretty
That's like my rule for paying for drinks at bars.
Mm-hmm.
Always buy the first round.
Oh, yeah.
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 Have we talked about this
before? No, we haven't.
Everybody remembers who bought the first round for the rest of the night.
I love that rule. That's
so
perfect.
Throughout the rest of the night, you're like, wait, wait, wait. You got the first round. I'll get this.
Yeah.
And that was like 14 rounds ago.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a pro move.
This is Mike and Jesse teach you to drink.
I don't even drink. That's the funny part. I used to.
So my favorite thing about your parties was always that I could count on Ed Casey being in the backyard.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's always on that side patio.
Yeah, the side
hanging
patio.
Out with the smokers, but not smoking, from what I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved hanging out with Ed at your parties.
Yeah, there's always Ed. CJ was another character from that particular corner. I don't know if you remember him. He was, like, Canadian and worked at Apple.
Was he? Was Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has good stories and always a bow tie. Like,
yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. Lots of characters. What a nice time.
It really was. It was fun.
Yeah.
And you know, you had my favorite thing about, you had like the perfect inside plus outside combination for parties. Because I always liked, like, you get in, you say hi to people, and then at some point you meander outside.
Yeah.
And you just hang out outside for the rest of the party.
Yeah. And it was like a not too expansive of an outside. It was
right.
Kind of like the upper, like the deck slash stairs that you would get to like the entrance
right.
of the place.
Because it gets hotter inside
and
it gets louder inside.
Yeah. And then what happens is people start like just doing laps. And so you always like run into people just by sitting out on like the steps
exactly.
or whatever.
People come, you know, people come out, you know, some people still come out and vape or whatever.
Nobody was vaping yet.
Not yet.
This
not
was
at that
pre-vaping.
Point.
This is all joints and cigarettes.
Yeah, but eventually everybody will come out there.
Oh, exactly.
And you were like sitting in the catbird seat, you know, getting fresh air. And it was just quiet enough to still talk to people.
Yeah.
So you went from that to throwing events.
Yes. Conferences.
How did you get started throwing conferences? And follow-up question.
Uh-huh.
How did throwing parties help?
Do you remember Dr. Chuck?
I do remember Dr. Chuck.
So he is how I started throwing conferences.
Dr. Chuck?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Really?
I didn't.
Oh my gosh. So
can we say Dr. Chuck's real name?
I think, Charles Pearson.
Yeah, Charles Pearson.
Yeah, Charles Pearson, my work angel. So I think that I introduced you to Charles, actually, because he had shadowed my company when I was running Pacific Helm.
Oh, that's right. Then it came and shadowed us.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh, you guys are going to get along super well. So
yeah, and I remember him after shadowing us for a while. He's like, you guys don't really do anything but fight.
Was he talking about Mule or Pacific Helm?
No, Mule.
Both of them are probably true.
Well, I don't know what went on in Pacific Helm, but it was just like, we would just argue with each other all day. And then Chuck, I guess, forgot that he was supposed to be shadowing us and would just started joining our fights.
Oh, that's so nice.
No.
I knew that you guys were going to get along.
Yeah.
So anyway, while he was like shadowing Pacific Helm, he would like have one-on-ones with us. And because I was not personally using any Adobe design tools, he was like doing research with Adobe at the time. I didn't have like much in the way of design stuff to talk to him about. So I would just like get lunch with him and just talk about whatever was on my mind. And I like just kind of very casually like threw out the idea of, it was like during an Apple Worldwide Developer Conference. And I was like, man, there's all these people who come here. I should just like make another conference and charge tickets to that for designers since they don't have any design content. And Charles is like, that's a good idea. And I was like, I know, right? And then 2 years later, totally out of the blue, Charles reaches out to me, maybe even on like your old, yeah, that Slack channel that we were on together. And yeah, the old mule Slack that right. I was on. And and was just like, hey, like, I'd love to like talk to you about that old conference idea that you had. And I was like, oh yeah, like, what do you want to know? And he's like, well, could you come to Adobe? And like, just like, we can like flesh some stuff out. And I was like, of course. So I show up to Adobe thinking I was just like going to go get coffee with Charles. And instead I was in a conference room with like people on a TV and like people in the room. And they're just like, tell us your ideas. And I was like, I'm not prepared, but I will do that. And I talked to them for like over an hour about like just all of like walking them through what something like this could look like, truly with no, like, I did not know what I was getting myself into at the time. Like, I was thrown into it. I did not prepare at all. But clearly, I had been prepared because I had many things to say about it. And then Charles basically, like, facilitated Adobe sponsoring a conference that I could produce. I could retain all control over. I was just like, oh, do you want to hire me to do this? And they're like, no, we want to give you money so that you can start a business and do this yourself.
Wow.
And so that's how it happened. Like, conferences are very expensive to produce. You really can't run a conference without seed money because you have to book a venue. Those are very expensive. Unless you have a venue and a date set, you cannot sell tickets to an event. And so right. like you have to have something to start out with. And so the only reason that the conference was the Layers was ever possible was because of Charles.
So what happens if you book a venue and you don't sell tickets?
What happens if you book a venue and you don't sell tickets? Do you mean like you sell zero tickets or like you sell seven tickets?
Not enough. Keep
so,
going.
To
actually have the conference. Do yeah. you lose the venue money?
Well, typically venues will have like a kill fee similar to like what we might work with, which is okay. like you forfeit your deposit and you pay 50% of what was owed. Every venue is a little bit different, and like, but that's like kind of the average. Is like you can expect to at least lose 50% of your money.
Okay, and without telling us any actual prices, mm-hmm. can you give us a ballpark for a venue?
Oh, I can give you the ballpark for the venue. Let's say like a 2-day venue uh-huh. for a group of people. Let's even like say like for 300 people, the venue could cost anywhere from $4,000 for 2 days to $80,000.
Okay. And I'm sure there's even higher than that.
And I'm sure there's even higher yeah. than that. And it's not directly related to like how nice it is or how nice it looks or how big it is or anything like that. Like, it makes no sense.
But we're talking about your, you know, if you walked in here, you would say, oh, yes, this is a kind of place where conferences happen.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And then within that, of course, like, if you're talking about any sort of venue use, then, you know, like, there are things that are required that might not come with a venue, like a stage, for instance. Some venues just have stages built in, like you're renting out a theater, or it's a venue that often does conferences, so they have a stage on hand. That's great.
I love speaking in theaters, by the way.
Yeah, theaters are nice. There's a lot of gravitas, I think, that it encourages people to focus. So theaters are great because there's already a stage built in, because sometimes, like, if you don't have a stage and you just rented a big room, a stage could cost, and the lighting rigs could cost, like, between $2,000 and $15,000.
Damn.
And so, like, maybe you found a great venue and you're like, oh, this one is really cheap, and then suddenly you have to pay out the ass to put a spotlight on and a 10-inch platform that somebody can stand on.
Okay, so before, and by the way, we're not going to have a Let's Make Mistakes conference, so don't ask.
No, definitely not.
So the first thing you need to do is you need to rent a venue.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the first like thing that usually happens. Yeah.
So
like,
before you even get before you have any possibilities of getting money from ticket sales or anything,
yeah,
you need to lay down cash.
You're laying down between like $2,000 and $20,000.
So that's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't have $2,000, nor did I have $20,000 at the time. So
you had a company that was nice enough to come in and sponsor the whole thing and give you the money that you needed to get the ball rolling.
Yeah. They basically, and like we talked about it, like I had lowballed how much money I thought I was going to take. And they were just like, here, you just take this amount. And it was great because like it basically covered all of our expenses up until we were able to start selling tickets, which was amazing.
Did they know that you were that you had lowballed it? Were they like,
I think that like you know, it's Adobe. They've sponsored us every year. They're a pretty big company.
And, right, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. did they know? Like, was it like you said 10, and they were like, haha, Jesse thinks she can do.
Oh no,
here's more.
It was more of a like we really like you, and like what if we just like upped this up a little bit? Like they were just being cool.
That's nice.
Which was great because like there would have been ways for me to like do things on the cheap and like put off spending until after ticket sales. But like any really, you know, any minute, every minute counts with events.
All right. So what makes a good event? We've talked about this a little bit. Like there's like your standard mediocre, like, ugh.
Yeah. Like the everything conference. I think that what makes a good event is, I mean, there's a few ways to go down this path, which is like there's like events that are unique and exciting and like things that people have never done before. And like that is a quality that could make a great event. But for me, I think that what makes a great event is when people's basic needs are being met, because that is where I see a lot of conferences falling short.
Like what? Like food and bathrooms and...
Yeah, food and bathrooms and air quality, access to clean air. I think that audience diversity is very important, and that it affects the overall outcome of an event a lot more than people think it's going to.
So
here's what it is that a lot of people think about a conference and they think that like what makes the conference great is like we have this like 10 amazing speakers and we got all of this amazing food and we got all this great booze. That stuff doesn't really matter because like you can see 10 amazing speakers if you go to TED.com.
Pretty much,
you
yeah.
You can go to a restaurant and get great food.
Yes, you can.
To any bar you want and get great drinks. Yep. But the thing that you have to go to a conference for is meeting other attendees. You can't just do that on your own. You can't, I mean, you can go meet people, obviously, but like meeting a kind of curated set of like the people who have similar interests and are in your line of work and are like the peers that work across the country or at other companies that you wouldn't have otherwise met. Like that is what the whole point of a conference is. Like that's where all the value is in the attendees.
So you know that the people who are at this conference with you, there's going to be a set of things you have in common just because you're both there.
Yeah. And it's like the networking and stuff. Like, and I think that people put so much focus on like the lineup, which is great and important, and like the food, which obviously like I'm known for like caring a lot about the food, but you know, that's an incidental. It's the attendees. And I think that people are super blind to the fact that like when they're letting registrations happen however they happen, it's going to be primarily male for certain industries. It's going to be primarily white for certain industries. And you end up giving people this audience that is all people who are like the same as them and not like you're not exposing people to anything different.
It's going to look like our $5 fan list.
It's going to look like our $5 fan list.
Who, by the way, I appreciate all of you, but...
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that's one of the most important things.
So how... You said if you just let registration happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So there's a few ways of people doing this. Like there's XOXO. They have like an application process.
Right.
The way that I do it is that I basically put it in the budget that a portion of the tickets in our theater are going to be free for people. And instead of having it be like a thing where people sign up, I just donate tickets to different organizations that I really like.
Uh-huh.
And that is kind of how we boost our attendee diversity. And it doesn't, you know, we also have a lot of scholarships. So I think that every year we have between like 40 and 70 people who did not have to pay to attend the conference or had to pay very, very little.
Have you ever followed up with any of those people?
Yeah. They follow up with me. I hear amazing things from them too. I actually don't even feel comfortable like sharing some of the personal stories, but
anonymize.
Yeah. But people who would otherwise never have had the opportunity to come to Layers, or maybe like where it wouldn't like, they could have afforded it, but it wouldn't have been a justified cost because like they weren't a designer yet, or they didn't feel confident in like their ability to do it yet. But that like came to the conference, started working on a project afterwards based on what they learned, and then like got hired by somebody that they met at Layers.
No shit.
We have so many stories about people getting hired. Every year, I feel like at least like 10 people get jobs. So I think, you know, there's like, and it's the people who are getting jobs are, you know, the people of color and the women and like the ones who are otherwise like super underrepresented at conferences. So I do see it making a genuine difference.
So you had to, but you have to actively do something
you have to
make
something.
This happen.
You have to actively do something to make it happen.
Right.
And it is worth it. It is
so
worth it.
These organizations that you reach out to and give. So first, hold on, let me back up a second. You said you dedicate a percentage of your tickets to organizations.
Like scholarships and giveaways.
Scholarships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell, are you comfortable telling us what percentage in a ballpark range?
Yeah, I think depending on any given year, because like sometimes people are not like able to utilize them. And so what we started doing is like charging $29 just to like ease drop off of like people who sign up for a free thing and then don't show up. So I'd say, I think that this year it was probably about between 15 and 20%.
That's a significant amount.
Yeah, it's significant. And you just have to, you know, suck it up and say like, well, maybe we would have sold those tickets to full price ticket buyers, but maybe we wouldn't have.
But it's more important to you to do this.
Yeah, because that's what's going to make everything better for the paying attendees and for the overall spirit of the event and for the world and the industry and everything. Like, it's so worth taking that hit or whatever and doing all of that extra legwork, because that's actually what the important part of a conference is. It's people who are coming together and being exposed to people who they would not otherwise meet in their everyday lives. Otherwise, like, seriously, what is the point of having a conference?
I agree.
Yeah.
Now, these free tickets and let's break that apart.
Yeah.
So you give a certain amount of tickets to different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some examples of the types of organizations and how you found those organizations? I'm trying to make it super, super easy here.
Yeah, well,
for conference
organizers
who are like, it's hard.
But it's possible. So there's a few, like there's a group called Hexagon UX, and it's a women in design group. They have chapters all over the United States. We give them a batch of tickets. They're super wonderful. Their people are like just a mix of
Hexagon UX.
Yeah. Hexagon UX.
UX.
Yeah.
Wait.
Hexagon.
I confused that up in my own mind.
Yeah.
Hexagon
UX.
UX.
Like user experience.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There's a group called Women Talk Design. There's this cool other conference called the Hue Design Summit that is like an Atlanta-based design conference that caters towards people of color. And I had come across it and like, I felt like there were a lot of similarities between like the vibe of their event and the vibe of our event. And so like, I just gave the organizers all tickets to our conference so that they could come out to it. So it's kind of a mix. Like, it's not all like students and people who are beginners. Like, it's just kind of like getting a nice group. Another thing that you can always do is like send out like a scholarship link to schools, design schools, professors, people who like who have those networks. I send stuff to our speakers, because I don't really like asking speakers to like promote our conference. I don't think that's a part of their job, but I do send out like scholarship links to speakers to be like, if you know any people who would like a free ticket, here's this extra opportunity. And like, we end up getting really interesting pockets of people coming in. Like there were a couple years ago, we suddenly just like had all of these like amazing people from Mexico attending Layers. And like, we didn't really know how it like found its way to Mexico. But they all came and like, they made the event so much better. And so I don't know, just like spreading the word through as many ways as you can. And it's like, you're giving people free tickets. So it's not like a huge ask. It doesn't feel like marketing when you're just trying to give things away.
There's nothing wrong with marketing.
There's nothing wrong with marketing, but like,
I mean, you're trying to get people to go to a good event.
Yeah. You're trying to get people to go to a good event. And then like, I have also in the past, like when I get a really good scholarship recipient, cause like we will a portion of it, like have people apply and like we read their essays. When I see people who are really, really good, I'm just like, hey, how did you find out about this? And could you send this link to like all of the people that you know? Because like one good person usually leads to like more good people.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of like, I go on that. I feel like almost every year I do have some sort of a chain of scholarship recipients where like when I see somebody amazing, actually this year there's a group called Laboratoria and two people applied. And I was like, what if I gave 20 tickets to your entire team? Because they were so amazing. So
did they come?
They all came. Yeah.
Did you meet them all?
Yeah. And they're all so wonderful and so appreciative. And I think that like the other thing about having that focus and like getting people in your doors who would not otherwise maybe feel comfortable or feel like it's their place to be there or whatever reason people might not be able to attend a conference is that like you get this really wonderful spirit of people who are not super jaded yet and who are really excited. And I think that it reminds all of the older, more seasoned, more experienced, the people who go to like conferences all the time, how exciting a conference can be and how meaningful it can be to other people.
I think one of the things that we don't talk about enough is that feeling of being able to walk into a place.
Yeah.
Like my friend Ross phrases it as hotel bathroom privileges.
Oh.
So
I think that I know what that means. I want you to explain it.
I'm sure you do. Where you feel like you can walk into any hotel and find a bathroom and use it.
I do this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or really any bathroom.
Right.
Yeah.
I just have a right to be here.
Yeah.
So many of these conferences, I mean, if you're like somebody from an underrepresented group and you walk in there and you're the only one of you that you see.
Yeah.
You start wondering if you have a right to be there.
And it feels weird.
It does feel weird.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that you're just inviting in, like, bring everybody.
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 Because that's the other thing is that, like, you don't want to get this, like, oh, like, one scholarship student from, like, Argentina. And it's like, why don't you bring five of your best friends so that you can have a good time?
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. I love, like, the party pass.
I love the party pass.
Yeah.
Have you, like, so do you tell this story when you talk about Layers?
When I talk about Layers, I don't really talk about Layers because I don't talk to anybody. I have my friends.
Right, but okay.
I talk to you. So, no, I don't because, I always feel weird. I always feel super weird about whether or not I am perceived as being like, is posturing myself.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I honestly don't care.
Yeah.
Because, if you are or not, I don't think you are, but I honestly don't care because people need to see evidence that others are doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need, like, I don't know if whether they feel like, hopefully they feel inspired.
Mm-hmm.
They could also feel shamed into it. That also works. That also gets those five people in the door. But honestly, I think what people need is to see evidence. And by people, I mean, you know, the old white men that throw the majority of conferences.
Yeah.
They need to see evidence that this shit is hopefully changing.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's doable. I hear so many conference organizers, and I don't doubt them when they say this. It's so expensive to run this, and profits are razor thin. And I don't, you know, I didn't even make any money this year. And yet here you are. And Layers is doing well.
Layers is doing well.
Layers is doing well.
I make a livable wage given the amount of time that I spend on it.
Right.
Like I make good money for the 4 to 6 months that I spend
working. And here you are
yeah.
giving away a large, a not insubstantial chunk of your tickets
yeah.
to make sure that you've got an exciting, interesting, diverse audience and a bunch of people who wouldn't otherwise be able to attend, couldn't afford it, didn't feel comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they're there.
Yeah.
And you set aside a chunk of your tickets for that, and you're still making money.
Mm-hmm.
You're making it work.
Yeah, Elaine and I are making it work. It works.
So like, it's possible.
It is possible. Yeah, you just have to work harder. And I think that that's fine. So like, I know that event organizers are already, we already work hard, but like, just do an yeah. extra.
And you know what? I cannot imagine what it's like to throw a conference. I don't have the skills. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But the minute that you decide, hey, I'm going to organize conferences, there's a certain amount of responsibility that comes with it.
Yes.
And I think you said it so well about caring about your audience
mm-hmm.
and understanding that people meeting people is the most important part of it.
Yeah. And like, and really the attendees, like,
yeah,
like
the
speakers, I could go on and on. I could go on and on about any component of an event. I can like throw down on like swag bags and about social events.
Do people care what's in the swag bags?
Well, you can make people care what's in the swag bags if you give them meaningful items.
I mean, most of the time, here's what I do with the swag bag.
Mm-hmm.
I turn it over.
Mm-hmm.
On my hotel bed,
mm-hmm.
but take like a cursory glance through everything, see that it's all crap,
mm-hmm.
and then use the bag for dirty laundry.
So here's like a good example of when Elaine is my business partner, so I keep on saying her name. So when Elaine and I did probably like one of the nicest swag kits. So like we were doing a conference for a client and it was like one of those like continuing education type things where people could take like coding and design classes and like get little like nano degrees or whatever. And like they graduated from this program, they got to come to this conference. And so like these were people who had just finished like learning how to code for the first time. So we got everybody folios. Like a little, like a laptop folio thing, which is like, they had those. But we filled it with gift cards for local businesses
uh-huh.
so that people could just like go get coffee, go get tacos, like whatever. It was just like, instead of catering it, we just like gave them cards so that they could go and like get whatever they wanted in the area.
Cool.
And then we gave them business cards that had their name on it and like basically like the course that they had completed. So it was just like name, like designer,
you made business
developer.
Cards for them?
We made them business cards.
That's,
and then people opened
really
it and they
thoughtful.
Were just like, they had just finished this course and it was like the first time that they had ever seen their name.
They're pros
next
now.
To this new title. And it like made people feel really special. And like,
oh,
because
like
it was in this like folio, like it felt like it was all like a part of their new little business kit. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
like that, you know, like it's that. A meaningful item. And I think that it's possible to do things like that. What I don't like is any fucking water bottles. No more water bottles. We don't need more water bottles.
We've got enough water bottles.
We have enough water bottles. T-shirts I'm on the fence about. Like, I think it's fine. We do t-shirts at Layers. People really like them. Whatever. Like, but it's just, yeah, I see so much wasteful swag making. You got me all fired up.
Well, that was the whole point. You know what I hate?
What
is when people give you something that's going to be a pain in the ass to travel back with? Because I'm usually traveling
yeah.
at these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, it has to be small. It has to be an item that wouldn't be annoying if it were redundant. So like water bottle, super annoying if it's
yeah.
redundant. Like we do like the little device claws or like glasses cleaners because it's just like it takes up zero space and zero light.
Yeah.
And like if you have a bunch of those lying around, it's actually more convenient. Things like that. Are great. Things that are awkwardly sized or that might break easily if you crush them in a suitcase.
Yep.
I hate when people try and give posters.
Nope.
Posters? What am I going to do with that? So roll it up and throw it in my suitcase? Like,
nope.
Yeah.
So you don't just do Layers.
No, I do events for clients as
All
well.
All right, so I can hire you to do an event.
You can hire me
like
to do
my
an
party
event.
This Friday.
Yeah.
It's a book launch party.
Yeah.
But so if I'm like at a big company, I can hire you and Elaine
mm-hmm.
and you can do our annual event.
Yeah. And we're pretty good at it. We're very good at it. I'm being very humble. It's like the one thing I don't need to be humble about. I know that I'm incredibly good at what I do and much better than a lot of other people. Not everybody. There are a lot of other good people in the industry, but I do think that Elaine and I are very, very, very high up in the top.
You know, here's the thing about humility. Mm-hmm. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And you can't afford it.
Yeah.
And it's always the wrong people who feel like they have to be humble.
Yeah.
Chad is not feeling humble right now.
Chad never feels humble.
Chad is telling his boss that he did a bunch of work that you actually did. He's taking credit for it.
Thankfully, I know zero Chads.
And do you know why Chad is doing that?
Why is Chad doing that?
Chad is doing that because he's a prick. But Chad was able to do that because you were quiet.
I know.
About not taking credit for your own damn work.
Yeah. I can do it because this is my podcast.
That's right. So, humility. No more of that. You can't afford it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's nice to be
Chad's
humble.
You know what? I am dying. I am dying to get to the point where I need to tell you that you're being, that you need to tone it down a bit.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Cool.
I'll tell you. I'm dying to get there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, like all the good people, I know all the people who care about stuff, like I am dying to get to the point where I can tell them, tone it down just a little bit. We're not there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, Chad needs to tone it the fuck down though.
Shut up, Chad.
God, Chad, go the fuck home.
Have you ever actually met somebody named Chad before?
I have. They were exactly what I expected.
See, I recently...
Wait, we don't have any Chads on the list, do we?
No, I don't think so. But I was going to say, I recently met a Chad. And I was just like, what's your name? And he was like, Chad. That's my parents' fault. Like, he didn't want to be a Chad. And like, you could just tell that like, every time he introduces himself to people, he has to be like, but
well, you
I'm
can
not
go,
like
you can pick Well, you can go by another name.
Yeah, I guess. I know. Yeah.
How is Chad short for something?
Chadwick.
Oh, God.
Chadler. No, I think Chadwick.
Chad.
Is there another? Chad.
Wick. Twick. Ick.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's your middle name, Chad? Maybe go with that.
Yeah.
God, even Steve is better than Chad.
Steve is pretty neutral. Steve can go in a lot of different directions.
It really can.
Like there's Nate, and I feel like Nate starts leaning into like it starts leaning further into the Chad territory.
It can go there.
It can
you know,
go there.
I would just go full Nathan.
Nathan, and then there's like Lucas.
That's a good name.
What about Luke?
Luke doesn't trigger anything for me.
Really,
Luke. I mean, for me,
Luke gives me a little bit of a water polo vibe.
Oh, I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
I mean, it can, yeah.
I'm sorry to any $5 fans whose names we are currently lampooning.
But,
this
you know,
is all
that's,
fake.
That's
this
what
is
we
for
do.
Fun. This is what we do. Yeah.
Skip. Skip.
Like skip the name.
Yeah.
What about Skip?
What do you got?
What do I got for Skip?
What do you think of Skip?
I think that Skip seeks attention.
Thirsty.
Yeah.
We're saying thirsty now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that millennial lesson.
No problem. I've been reading the handbook.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I haven't been.
Well,
I'm just winging it.
You don't need to. It's, you know, I needed to be able to talk to millennials.
Yeah.
Are we still dapping?
What? What's dapping?
Oh, see, you're out of it.
No, really, what is that?
I don't know. I forget.
Oh, man. No, I feel like the last one I learned was big dick energy. And like, I just like bounced because I liked that one. I just haven't looked at Urban Dictionary since.
I'm not touching that. I'm not going anywhere near that.
You know, that is a gender neutral term.
What?
Big dick energy.
I mean, anything is gender neutral are we getting it? But I think, oh, God, no, I'm just done. I'm not going anywhere near
this.
It
was a trap.
Oh, God damn it. I just got canceled. It's always good to talk to you, Jesse.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a, you know, I'm a female person of color, so oh. I can say whatever I want.
There you go.
No, that is not true. That is not true.
You should hear what she says once this thing stops recording.
It's basically nothing. I basically go home and I take a nap until the next morning.
Yeah. Man, a nap sounds good right now.
I know, right? I'm really tired.
I say we blow out of here, we go to our respective places and do our respective napping.
Sounds good to me.
You got the small cat, right?
Yeah, it's like a regular size cat.
Well, regular size now.
Yeah.
And the cat's name is, for our listeners who don't remember?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mike. I've been dying for you to ask me this question. Her name is Detective Blueberry.
That's right.
Is that all? Is that all you wanted to know?
That's it.
Okay. That's nice.
Okay.
Well, this has been Let's Make Mistakes. Do you think we made mistakes today?
Oh, God. I'm probably canceled. I don't know.
I hope that the title of this podcast at least, like, gives us a little buffer.
The gang gets canceled. That's our title. All right. Bye.
Bye.